for me personally, the huge benefit of having best of breed and integrated platform is that the different teams within your organization can actually make decision about what they want to use, and you can replace certain parts of the entire solution.
Hello, welcome back to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. Today, I'm really excited to have Miro with me. Hi, Miro.
Hey, Jerry. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for joining us. Miro's with Office R&D, and any of you listening to the podcast will know that Office R&D very recently become a partner with us, which I just want to say thank you for. Just really appreciate you partnering with us.
No, thank you for giving us the chance to partner with you.
Yeah, and we've part of our process for working with partners, we must be a customer. I think to keep everything authentic, to actually have an insight of what the partner does as a business is really important. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? So we started using Office R&D as a platform, I think probably about 4 years ago. I don't know if you'll know, but it's probably something like that. And we've been in the industry for quite a long time. And we certainly started out with spreadsheets like most people do, yep. Excel, right? And invoicing used to take 3 or 4 days, you know, each month, maybe even a week, to just go through it all, make sure you've picked up everything. So just as a basic platform to help us coordinate our customers, coordinate our invoice and everything else, that was really important. But there's so many other things that have become relevant as tech has gone on. And you guys see yourselves as prop tech, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you could just tell the listeners a bit more than I just have of some of the things that Office R&D actually is targeting and what it can do.
Yeah, sure. So Office R&D, we're a prop tech, pure software company. We started in 2015. And funny enough, actually, the original idea was a little different than what we're doing today. Today we have two platforms serving two different types of customers. One is purely on what we call the operator and landlord side. This is our main and original product called Office R&D Flex. Essentially, it's solving all the problems of running a flexible and co-working or serviced offices. We're trying to solve more or less all the important problems for running a co-working space. There's so many of them, which is a challenge on its own.
Yeah.
Our platform, as well as the other platforms in our market, are becoming a little too broad. So billing certainly is the number one problem we're trying to solve, because running a co-working space is very dynamic. More or less every customer can or might be on a different pricing plan, different schedule, and overall the pricing is just complicated in a flex environment. So therefore, the billing is very complicated. So we try to simplify that, we try to optimize it and make it fully automated. Also synchronize everything with the accounting software and the financial products like Xero or QuickBooks and others. So essentially the whole billing and payment collection to be fully automated and streamlined. Then there's so many other problems related to running a co-working space, like bookings and reservations and the credit system, day passes and other different challenges of the day-to-day operations, like help desk and tickets, the whole member experience is a completely separate but also very fundamental core problem in running a co-working space. Some people call it a member experience, others self-service. Essentially, the idea is to allow your members or tenants or just occupiers to self-service, book their own spaces, pay their own bills, see who else is in the building, communicate, collaborate, and essentially feel a little bit more part of a community. Although that's a separate conversation about the community element, but yeah, so that's our main product called Office R&D Flex. A while ago, we had the opportunity to introduce a second product called Office R&D Hybrid, which is trying to solve the challenges of of a normal company that's just a tenant in a building and trying to work in a more flexible and hybrid way of working. Good example is actually our company. In one of our offices, we are 100 people and we occupy an office for 50. Therefore, we cannot all go to the office the same day. So we have to book. And then we also have a policy that everyone should be in the office 2 days a week, fully flexible, so you can decide which days you want to be in the office and hopefully be proactive around that and not just book a random day, but be more thoughtful and organized with your own teams and the people that you really should spend more time physically together. So that's what we call office learning hybrid. And then there is so many overlaps and interesting integrations between these two products. So our ultimate goal is to connect everything into a more complete, flexible working platform.
Yeah, because I just to touch on the hybrid product, that there's the option there for sure for just businesses to operate their own space, but also it integrates. So I know that we have the option to offer that to our customers, so that there's maybe 20 in the team, but they've got an office of 15, which is a regular thing now. They take a smaller office, but there's a larger number of people than there is desks, and we can offer that to them through the platform, which is excellent.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. Opportunity to monetize even better your space, because most people what they're doing is you can still charge for the 15 desks, but then the five people on top, you can add an additional charge of, say, if a desk is £500, then you can charge an additional £100 for just a service to offer to the five people on top.
Yeah.
And that essentially is increasing your revenue per square feet.
I can give an exact example of that. So the example for us is we have an office where there were, let me just remember now. It's a little while ago before we started thinking about this, but actually we had an office inquiry for 8. And the office they wanted was a 4. And in the past, we would have just said, well, at the end of the day, only 4 people can get in there. It's up to them when and how and whatever. But actually, because we're more in a membership model based around what we can do with office R&D, we effectively have, well, that's 4. It's a 4-person office, I think what it was. So they're paying for 4-person office, and then they're paying for 4 memberships for the additional ones, exactly as you've said. So the room's gone from, I can't remember what it was, maybe £800 to £1,000, because you have that ability through the software to do that, which is great. And of course, that integrates with other things like the door access, membership cards, or using the app. I just want to come back a bit though.
Sure.
So what you've described there is a pretty complex setup, and having multiple clients with multiple setups means different ways of configuring the software.
Yeah.
How do you even start? So when did you start the business? Why did you start the business? And how do you get to that kind of office R&D 1.0?
That's a really good question. So I'm originally from Bulgaria, Sofia, Bulgaria. And before starting office R&D, I was a developer in a company called Telerik, which was a pure software company. To date, the most successful Bulgarian startup, the fastest growing at the time. So when I joined that company, we were a little less than 200 people. Then in the next couple of years, I saw it growing to more than 1,000. Throughout this time, I've always felt like the office is not being managed according to my expectations, because everything was so fast moving and dynamic and agile. And the office is so static and so hard to catch up with the with the fast changes of the business in a tech company. I always felt like it's lagging behind. There is no transparency. There is no flexibility. And although the company was really trying, it was just not equipped with the right technology to offer flexibility. So after Telerik was acquired by an American company, huge exit, super successful story and all that, with another friend who is also called Miro, just for simplicity, we decided to to start a company and try to solve this office challenge and build a modern, flexible workplace management platform. First idea was for corporates, actually.
Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes.
We actually wanted to build what we now call Office R&D Hybrid, which came later. And with that idea, very early on, we were invited to join an accelerator program based in London called called Pi Labs, Property Innovation Labs, run by a really good VC called Faisalabad. And he invited us. We had the opportunity to join the program. And part of the deal was that we actually relocated to the UK and incorporated in London and all that. And we ended up in a co-working space called Second Home, which was literally our second home, or maybe a first home, because we were spending probably like 20 hours a day in the space. And we discovered the world of co-working. We fell in love with that concept. We fell in love with the flexibility and the service and the hospitality it was offering to our customers. And we saw exactly that office we always imagined. And we were very early on in building the software. We had essentially the opportunity to do a pivot and try from trying to build a corporate workplace management to actually focus on solving the problems of running a co-working space. And at the time, I read a really good book called The Mom Test, which was absolutely game-changing for product discovery. And I started interviewing co-working spaces and going around the city and talking to co-working space operators and asking them questions and poking around the problems that they're facing. And then we discovered that what we were trying to build was problem number 10, which was around the actual physical space management. And problem number one was billing and zero integration.
Yeah.
So we ended up building... solving for problem number one, which was how do you bill and know that. And the product changed completely. So from a workplace management platform, it started to becoming more of a billing and membership management solution for co-working spaces. And then, just for the story, then when COVID hit, which was obviously a very interesting event, we had the chance to go back to the original idea that we started with. So we saw the massive change in how people work, and hybrid was now becoming really mainstream. So we were like, now is the perfect time to go back and try to build the original product that we wanted to build for the corporate world. So we took our chances and went on to develop a second product called Office R&D Hybrid for corporates. And now, we run two product company.
So I'm trying not to go down too many different legs there. When we first came across Office R&D, which would have been in 2017, our feeling at the time was, because just for those that don't know, our main offer really is office space.
Yeah.
Sure, we have co-working spaces within that, but our main product is office units. And at the time, our perception was that Office R&D was orientated more towards co-working, shared spaces and memberships, which wasn't where our model was.
Yeah.
And so we didn't take it up at the time. and we carried on with the platform we were on. But then when we revisited 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago, the platform had changed and evolved and included more of that. And that, I guess that's where my original question came from, just that it's just constantly evolving. And
yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the space, right? But it's constantly evolving. And our model had also started nudging more towards membership. And then becoming involved with Office R&D allowed us to really focus in on that. And that's been a great benefit to change our perception, both internally and externally, of our product offer and fitting it around members rather than spaces or square feet, in fact, is how we started. Like, yeah, everything was based on square footage, right? So it's just been interesting to watch the business evolve and develop into different platforms and or into different areas. So some of the other problems that we had at the time were with the one you've mentioned, which was integrations with Xero or Sage. That was like the number one problem which you've solved. The other one was to do with having the model work for us rather than necessarily a pigeonhole of here's a shared space. And the fact that there are so many different product types in there now and the ability for us to add products really has been a game changer. So that we've been able to really model our business into Office R&D as a platform. And one of the things I've noticed in the industry is that more and more of the larger players are trying to become the holy grail, which is a platform does everything. But you guys have chosen a different path, which is to work more with integrations, to work more with, so let's just pick an example. Xero is a good example, right?
Yep.
Where you've decided, right, we're not doing accounting. We're not accountants. We're not going to do that platform. We're going to integrate with others. But there's also other things like door security, internet, all these different areas and CRM systems. And that's a conscious choice and also a big choice. What is your philosophy towards that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jerry. Overall, in the world of software, there are two types of platforms. One is trying to solve all the problems of a customer and essentially becoming an all-in-one solution. And then you have best-of-breed solutions that are essentially trying to integrate with really the best in different classes solutions. So one is trying to stay a little bit more horizontal and a little bit more shallow on the different problems. And the other is trying to go as deep as possible in one direction and then integrate with others that are going deeper, solving different problems. In fact, there are a lot of pros and cons in both directions, and the benefit of using one platform to solve all of your problem, which is very typical in niche markets. So just to be clear, our market is very niche. It's very niche, very small. It's growing, which is very exciting, and it's incredible. I love our market, but it's still very small. So it makes sense to try and solve as many problems as possible and be an all-in-one solution. It really does. And it also gives the benefit of dealing with one vendor. So essentially, having one vendor is simpler. You know, when you have a problem, you know who you should call and who can solve your issues eventually. and when dealing with multiple products that are integrated, it's very unclear when something broke, who should you call and where's the problem. It can be a real pain, although it's, in my opinion, so much better, and this is where the future is. We certainly made a conscious decision to build a platform that's fully open API and fully integrated with the best products. We definitely don't want to build sales CRM solutions. We don't want to build an accounting or an access control system. There are so good products out there, and we'd rather integrate with all of them and build what we were trying to solve really, really deep and really, really well. But it comes with some issues that sometimes you don't know if if the problem is in Office R&D or Salto, for example, or the integration itself, so why certain things are happening. For me personally, the huge benefit of having best of breed and integrated platform is that the different teams within your organization can actually make decision about what they want to use, and you can replace certain parts of the entire solution. So for example, your sales and marketing team may use HubSpot today, tomorrow they may decide that they outgrow it and they want to go for Salesforce. Your finance team may use Xero today, but tomorrow you may outgrow it and you can go for NetSuite or another much bigger accounting package. And that's simple. You can go and replace one part of the platform and still everything else works. And the different teams can decide what's best for them. Alternatively, you make one massive decision to go with single vendor that eventually can deliver all of these, and you cannot replace anything.
Do you know, you made me think about a very valid point there, which is you're talking about businesses evolving and growing effectively and making decisions. So example would be you're on your first building, you select a door lock because you like the look of it, you think the app works well, but actually when you've got six buildings, there's more complicated things like, well, actually, will the app allow you to open doors in all six buildings? Will it allow you to view them by video because some of the buildings are unmanned, some of the others are got, you know, all that stuff that happens when you evolve your business. And Office R&D, because of those integrations, allow you to do those changes and tweaks as you go along.
Yeah, that's, by the way, one of the new cool features. You can run multiple access control systems in different buildings.
So what that means for me is that listeners that are getting started in this industry, I'll step back a little bit for a second. When we started, as I mentioned, we used Excel spreadsheets, then we started using systems. And then we started bringing in more buildings and started integrating those. And the systems were a little bit more closed off. So it didn't give us those options to then change and tweak and grow. And it meant that if you did change, it means sometimes you've got to do all sorts of things if you change to another platform that's all encompassing.
Yeah.
And so it strikes me that the market for Office R&D is probably a bit wider than some of the other providers, because if we were looking at starting again and took on one of the competitor products that we used to use, a lot of the time it's centered around the London market. Mm-hmm. It's centered around big buildings, and with a big building, the economics might work. But when you've got a small building and you're paying a lot of money for a system, you don't need all those features. It can be challenging, and it just seems that you've also made a conscious decision to work with the smaller operators and help them through that growth period by having features that are separate and also a pricing structure that's maybe a little bit more friendly.
Yeah, we try. It's so hard though.
Sure.
We try to work with really the smallest operators to some of the largest operators and landlords in the world. It's not easy, but we do try hard to create a pricing structure that works well for everyone, and the features that work well for everyone. I can tell you that's so hard.
Yes,
but we are giving our best to.
Yeah. So you mentioned Salto. One door lock provider, right? There, I went to a show recently, and there's another five or six people there with different products and different systems that all have just a slightly different approach.
Yeah.
And you know, you're thinking, crikey, well, the first question is, do you guys know of Office R&D? Because it's a mammoth task. So if we just take door systems, there might be a dozen players in the market, and that's just one system. Then we talk about internet, then we talk about software for accounting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things, and it's leading on to a question here, one of the things I've noticed with Office R&D is that you do publish, this is our roadmap, these are the things we're working on. We can't do everything at once, but here's our priorities right now. Have you got a a long-term vision of, right, these are all the integrations, this is our philosophy for integrations? Or is it sometimes a little bit about who's shouting the most or where the crunch points are? Because that's a decision-making process on a daily basis, I would think.
Yeah, so we separate the different buckets internally for how we improve the product. So there is one bucket for long-term vision and strategy. So that's something we try to control and something that we try to be really mindful and proactive. Like, here's the direction that we want to go, and we try to protect it. And then we have a really large bucket that's a little bit more flexible. And yeah, it's kind of, well, let's pick the items and improvements that most of the people need, want, or shout about, and that's a little bit more fluid, and we try to be a lot more agile there. And usually the roadmap for the year is a combination of all of these, and unfortunately a ton of security improvements, bug fixes, and whatnot.
Yes.
which is one of the areas that so many people don't necessarily understand, that are not in the tech world. And a lot of co-working operators and landlords throughout the years tried to build their own technology systems, including WeWork. And that's big fun while you're developing it, and then massive pain when you have to maintain it and fix all those issues. Yeah. and be always up to date with all sorts of security things. So the roadmap and the improvement is just a tip of the iceberg of everything else that we try to do internally to offer reliable and really secured platform that's always available 24/7,
yeah,
99.99% uptime. It's big fun.
How many are in your team?
So we currently are 140 people.
140. And yeah, are they based? What's your hybrid model?
Yeah, well, the way we think about our team is, we really like the hub and spoke model. So we try to build hubs. So we try to build different hubs in certain areas that were some quite intentional. Others were a little random that just happened to be to have a hub in certain areas. So we have teams in Sofia, Bulgaria, where I'm originally from. We have teams in London, in Boston, Atlanta, as well as Melbourne, Australia. So overall, we try to hire around the hubs.
Yeah.
And then actually the different hubs have different hybrid models because we try to be mindful about the different nuances of the
different markets.
The different markets. Yeah. I mean, in Sofia specifically, everyone should be in the office 2 days a week. But that's Sofia is a very European city, which is funny. It's mixed of residential and commercial buildings over the place, similar to London and most of the European cities. While in the US and it's a lot more centralized. And
yeah, they have their central business districts. Australia is the same. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's different. And when you see how people have to commute like an hour and a half to get to the office, it's real pain.
Yeah.
You cannot easily say, well, you should be in the office 3 days a week or whatever. I mean, that's a lot of commute.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And for example, in Atlanta and Boston, we do 1 day a week with models. We use co-working space everywhere, of course, and flexible offices. And Melbourne is similar, one day a week. London as well. So essentially it's, although obviously if people want to be more in the office, they can.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not forcing it.
Okay. So we've just talked about geography there. I wanted to touch on that. you've mentioned a couple of markets there, Australasia, US. I mean, what are your key markets, targets in terms of geography?
Yeah, we're a really global company. We've always been targeting the world. But obviously, the most of our customers are in the English-speaking world. And for the most part, that's not necessarily the language itself, but in many cases, it's the integrations. So,
yes, okay.
For the most part, where you have Xero and QuickBooks and Stripe and other, or Salto, so the systems that we integrate is mostly the markets that we are really strong, and that's obviously Americas and Europe and UK, Australia, APAC. We are super strong there, but in many local markets, you have a completely different payment system, completely different access control system, some local accounting packaging. And the platform is just not going to deliver the same value. And we have customers in more or less every country, but we clearly see that when you don't have all these integrations connected together and working in a delivering full automation, just the value of the product is not that big.
Yeah, so actually deciding to go to start doing work in New Zealand as an example, it may not be their best example, but making that decision isn't just a case of, well, let's just start selling this product in New Zealand, because there's going to immediately be some roadblocks.
Yeah. Yeah. The product works really well in every single country. It's just those integrations.
Yeah.
And
that's the challenge.
And if, for example, Stripe is supported there, or CoCardless or whatever, integration you need.
Yeah. These are all ones that we use. So one of the things that I noticed recently in the press was about, well, I say recently, 6 months ago, I think it was, Miro, you guys have had another fundraising round. And, you know, that's exciting to see that the business is growing and has new support to develop new activities. So I wanted you maybe just talk on, what is that aimed at? What is it that funding round is helping you do now?
Yeah, great question. We've always been raising money since day one. We've been on the VC track, which has a lot of, again, as most things, pros and cons. But once you raise money, you keep on raising money.
Yeah.
The last round was a little bit more interesting, I'd say, because it was the first for us US investor. So before that, all of our investors were mostly Europeans, so a lot of UK, a lot of Bulgarian and mainland Europe VCs and angel investors from the market or just VCs. The last round was led by Blue Star Innovation Partners, which is a Texas-based late-stage growth fund, really different than everything that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I love it. So first of all, they approach it very differently. They did a massive research on the market. Before investing in us, they spent a lot of money on really deep market research. They hired a London-based market research agency. They did a very extensive analysis of the entire co-working flexi workspace market. And they first of all fall in love with the market itself. They saw a huge opportunity for growth in the market. They saw how the US is underdeveloped compared to the UK, which for them was, okay, that's a huge opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they researched that we are one of the leading solutions on the market. Phoned so many of our customers without us knowing, which is, by the way, every investor is doing that, so no surprise. They saw that customers love us, and it was then very easy for us to come to terms and figure out terms that make sense for the business, for them, and they invested pretty significant amounts to help us grow faster and hopefully help the market get to the next stage and grow. It's a very growth oriented investor, pure focus on growth. So yeah, for us the next phase is how do we grow, which has always been the the phase.
Yeah, I mean that's a full time job, right? Working with finance, people that are putting in finance. I mean, you know, I take my hat off to the amount of stuff that you have to do. The US sounds like it's a major part of your growth and your targeting. And it does seem a little bit fragmented out there to me. Is that true to say that the US is one of your big things that you're trying to grow in it?
Yeah, US has always been a core market for us. Now, probably even more. We certainly are expanding teams there and overall even more focus. It's more fragmented, indeed. Also, it's to a certain degree less, I'd say, developed than the UK. In the UK, you have a lot more, I'd say, best practices that are more advanced. And just, I mean, the co-working service to office market's been around for many decades now in the UK. So you have a lot of foundation there and the customers know what to expect and know that. I think in the US is still a little earlier in that development, so a lot of things are just a little more chaotic and underdeveloped, which is a great opportunity. I think there is so much to grow and develop in the US.
Back to the UK. Now, we've got listeners in the US and the countries you spoke about, and we're kind of the same. It's that thing about English speaking, I guess, is part of the reason why we get listened to in other countries. But back in the UK, one of the questions I really need to ask you, we spoke about the roadmap. What are some of the things that are less negotiable? They are, I think, because you said there's two, you've basically got a foot in both sides. One strategic, we're going to do this year. And then the other one's the more fluid part, right? Okay, yeah. Whoever maybe shouts and maybe that's changed. And of course, the problem you've got is we speak about Salto. So Salto might change something. And then, of course, you've got to change the integration and keeping that monitoring going. But also the strategic stuff. What are some of the things that you're looking to do over the next 12 to 18 months that are going to impact the customer experience?
Yeah. Number one thing is data is the first step to an AI. Obviously, AI is buzzword, a lot of things going on there. Not so applicable for what we are doing at this point, although there are a lot of interesting opportunities on that front as well. But the absolute first step for implementing an AI is having very robust data. So that's why probably a several months ago, we decided that we want to introduce a new concept in the platform, something that we call Data Hub, and essentially try to integrate the different data pieces coming from all systems into one hub. So say Xero, Salto, or the network, as well as obviously everything that's going on in the office learning platform itself. Connect all the data in one centralized place and then, first of all, analyze it yourself, build your own reports and really understand the business in a better way. But then at some point, introduce an AI that is trained and fully understand your data that can help you make business decisions better, maybe run operations for you to a certain degree. First, that's the natural evolution. By the way, the first thing to introduce is a co-pilot and then is a pilot.
Yes.
so eventually, data and AI is certainly non-negotiable. And I think that's one of those things that will inevitably make a difference in the business. And then the second most important thing for us is the member experience. There is so much more that we should be doing on that front, starting from the visitor and guest experience all the way to collaboration and self-service booking and all that. So the member experience has always been kind of second thought for the industry. Everyone's talking about that, but no one's actually doing too much around it. So we'll try to zoom in and offer deeper functionality and more exciting stuff on that front.
I think it's inevitable that certain people, when they're looking at a system, they're looking at it from their own point of view. So how does my business work better? How does this improve my operations? How does it mean that I don't miss invoicing and data, the basics, right?
Yeah.
But actually, the customer experience is so important and removing friction.
Yeah.
And when you've got umpteen different things that you have to provide, going back to door locks and everything else, the more friction there is in there, the harder it's going to be for that customer to enjoy the journey and go on the journey. So one of the things, the features that I really like about the Office R&D product is the fact that we have an app. So
yeah.
We white label app that we then put our own brand on, but it's backed up by Office R&D and it allows integrations of all the different things that we do. And, you know, there's not everything on there, but there's most of the key things are on there, and it removes those friction points so that trying to have your own social network in your own business is traditionally quite hard. You know, do you use Facebook? Do you have your own platform? How do you get people to be engaged? But because the app is allowing it, so one thing it does is it allows us to open doors.
Mm.
So rather than necessarily giving the customer key fobs, we're kind of encouraging / forcing them to use the app on a day-to-day basis to get indoors. But then it just means there's just one more reason for them to go into the app to discover more about other members. And just trying to remove all those little pieces that slow that down is really important. And that's one of the things I think you've done really well at.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate that. Although I believe there is so much more that we
sure, can there's definitely run. Bits where there is some friction, right? But
yeah. But
it's definitely going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that a lot of operators, back to that thing about the decision about, well, what system we're going to use. It certainly for us to start with, it's about, well, the functionality for us as a business to operate better, because we looked at it as an operating system. But as you say, it's actually not just an operating system, is it? It's about the member experience.
Yeah. Member experience is the really, it will become more and more important as the whole industry and the whole office world is moving towards hospitality.
Yeah.
Hospitality, obviously, there is the experience when you're physically in the space, but also there is the digital experience. So how you interact with the physical world without human interaction,
yes,
in between. So how you reserve and book something, how easy it is to pay for something, buy a coffee or order a croissant for your board meeting. That's becoming more and more important.
Let's not have 16 apps. Let's have one source to do that.
Yeah.
I just want to move on to one last thing.
Sure. And by the way, just one more thing. The third pillar that we want to deliver this year is something that we call Growth Hub.
Okay.
Which is kind of related to the member experience, but eventually it's we do want to help operators and landlords bring more people to their spaces on demand by essentially integrating as many of the different channels out there, like aggregators and marketplaces. So mm-hmm. it's so hard to actually be on all marketplaces. So we definitely want to streamline that and allow you to have a centralized place where you can integrate with all the different marketplaces, control and eventually get more exposure, as well as more easily manage your own the so-called owned channel, so your own website, so the flow to allow customers and members to buy a day pass or book a meeting room directly from your website or from Google. We definitely want to help operators to streamline that and have a better experience, something that we currently do. But it can be so much better. So we're focusing on delivering new experiences to
people
buying and purchasing on-demand products.
Yeah,
because we see huge opportunity for growth in this direction for our customers.
I mean, one of the things that I'm still amazed at is a customer can go on our website once they find us. They're not a customer, they're a potential customer. They go on our website. They maybe find us through an aggregator, but they may have just found us directly through SEO or whatever. And they can there and then book up a space or a desk or a day pass. They pay.
Yeah.
The money's in the bank account before they turn up. The following morning they turn up. There's an email there. People know that they're coming and they get integrations into the system. It's amazing because, you know, before you're like, well, how do we take a card payment? How, you know, and just all those complicated, because it seems natural. Well, somebody should want to come in and use it for a day, of course. But then how do we take payment? Do we set them up as a customer? You know, all those things that become rubs, right?
Yeah.
But it's great to be able to see that now. And our numbers of day pass sales are going up regularly, which is great.
Good to hear. Yeah. I think there is a lot more opportunity there as well.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Well, that's good to hear. Right. Okay. So my last question I want to ask is that you are in one of these privileged positions where you can go around and see lots of operators. Okay. We're here in office space in town.
Yeah.
Right. Nikki Fuchs very kindly, who was on the podcast before, suggested we could use the Lego room, which we're in right now. I'm sorry for those that can't see this, but it's a fantastic space.
It is, yes.
All sorts of Lego and everything. We're not in the room that has the train engine, which is probably a good thing when we're recording a podcast. But the point I was trying to make was that you're out seeing lots and lots of different operators. And I do get to go around and see a few, but nothing like you do. And what I wanted to ask was, with that opportunity to see what different people are doing, what are some of the things that are making some of those businesses really stand out for you? What are some of the market trends that those guys are setting that you're saying, look, these are best in class, this is what I really like? Or maybe it is a personal thing about, you know, I like this because, but I just want to give our listeners just a chance to have a bit of an insight into some of the things that are going on out there.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And actually, I will use Office Space in Town as a great example. Something that I think they're exceptionally good at is hiring and retaining their teams and the culture of the company. At the end of the day, everything that we do goes back to the culture of the organization. So the Office Space in Town, he has an incredible culture of hospitality and taking care of each other and also giving up an exceptional service to customers. So everything goes around that, and everything else is easy. It's easy to fit out a space and all that, but the hospitality and the culture is so different and really makes all the difference in the world. All the successful operators that we're seeing, they know how to find and retain and train their team members. It's unfortunately or not in our industry, and similar to other hospitality industries, you have a lot of turnover and churn of staff, and that's really painful, and it can destroy the experience of people. So if you can create a culture where your team want to stay and want to be part of the experience for your customers, this will make you a lot more successful, in my opinion, from everything that I've seen.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, like so you're saying, yeah, space, you've got more control. You can design.
Have it
installed to a certain spec.
Of course, location is incredibly important.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's always.
That's a given. Yeah. But the actual less tangible through the soft stuff, people, is the bit actually that you've picked out. That's interesting. Okay, good. Okay, all right. Well, I think we're going to finish it there. I really appreciate you joining us. Again, thank you so much for being a partner on the program. If anyone wants to find out more about Office R&D, there is a partner link in the show notes where you'll be able to go and have a look at the product and also potentially book up a conversation with someone to see how that's going to work for you. So thanks, Miro.
Thank you so much for having me today, Jerry.
Brilliant.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah, really interesting conversation. It's going to be interesting to come back to this in like 2-3 years' time just to see where we're at, particularly the AI stuff. I just think the Some people's impression with AI is this all-seeing, all-thinking thing. But actually, we've got AI going on all the time and integrated into lots of stuff that we do. But it will be interesting to see where we're at in 3 years' time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so much looking forward to that, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, brilliant.